The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
In your own bye, guys, it's all about being sensitive, having fun, and just really being yourself.
It's the Bye Guys. 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 The Bye Guys.
With Zach and Ian. It'll get your dick sucks.
Hey everybody, how you doing? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Bye Guys. Put your hard-ons away, your hard tits and your wet pusses from that intro, and hang out with us. Was I not supposed to curse for YouTube monetization in the first minute?
I don't give a shit.
Cares? Those aren't cusses. Those are fun words that should be celebrated, especially if you're a kindergarten teacher in a public school system. What's up, groomers? Anyway.
Is that a thing that's happening right now?
I on the internet, and then I talk to all my friends that have kids, and they're like, I haven't heard of any of this.
Wait, what? That teachers are cursing?
No, that they're like...
They're like grooming their kids.
They're like introducing LGBT topics and like gender to preschoolers and kindergartners. Oh. And that Libs of TikTok account takes like these like videos with like 26 likes and then blasts it on their page and everyone's like, this is happening in every school in America. Yeah. And I fall into it and I send it to my friends like, no, this isn't...
But isn't that great? That they're like introducing LGBT?
I think very progressive schools, if the kids have questions, will address. So like my chick's a preschool teacher and they have a book on like having two dads because one of the kids has two dads and said it and the other kids wanted to know about it. So they bought it like the same. They have a little Muslim kid. So now they have a book.
That's like hijack planes.
Yeah, it's actually literally Curious George does Ramadan.
Really? Oh, that's so cute. Eid Mubarak, everybody out there.
Yeah.
Eid Mubarak.
Happy Eid. Wait, I read a book. I found it when I was in Ireland, and it was a book for kids about like your body. I wish I knew the name. Anyway, I bought it to read on the podcast. But when I was reading it, I was like, "Fuck, I'm learning."
Was it about like gay and LGBT?
Everything that you said with different religions.
That's hilarious.
And, like just saying like everything's normal. Whatever
there's
situation.
Gonna be like preschool books for LGBT. Like, are you my mommy slash daddy? Maybe
Sex ed talk. All I got, I was raised by a single mom, so all I got was a book thrown at me that was called "What's Happening to Me." And it had like
and he threw back a diary. That said the same thing.
Yeah. And I was like, is this about my body or my psyche?
Hold on, like,
ready for my sex talk?
Yeah,
Zachary, keep it covered. That's what I got.
My mom said, Ian, I will pay you $10,000 when you turn 13 if you always wear a condom. And if you're going to be with someone, wear two. And my grandfather goes, listen, if you're going to wear two, you might as well just stay home.
Did you get that $10,000?
No, I've always refused money from my mother.
I thought you were going to say, I've always refused condoms.
Nice. I've always refused, but she fucked me up in a good way, I guess, because I've always worn condoms, even when I was like in blackouts. I showed up at Wawa one time in my underwear, coming out of a blackout, screaming, I need condoms so I can fuck. And they're like, you need to leave. You're in your underwear. I was like, if I get AIDS, it's your fault, Wawa. It's your fault. You really gonna let me get AIDS?
Yeah.
Just drove back home.
They're like, do you know how many of our customers have AIDS?
Sure, this is a Wawa. By the way, do you know how low of a point you are in your life where someone has to go, sir, this is a Wawa.
Yeah.
You're being inappropriate.
Yeah. And then in order to drive there, someone parked me in, so I had to drive on the lawn and drive back on the lawn. And the next day, one of the people that lived in the house I lived in was like, what the fuck happened to the lawn? I was like, I don't know, there's some real assholes out there.
Yeah.
I hope they get caught.
Why are there a bunch of ska albums all over the lawn?
Why is there a NoFX record in the driveway? But I ended up in rehab a month later. So.
Oh, I'm sorry, Katie, what were you going to say, hon?
Oh, my sex talk was you were an accident. So
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's a great sex talk, though. You know, yeah, I use it? Condoms. Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't want to be burdened with another you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, don't make the mistake we did and have someone like you.
Everybody always says, oh, Jesus, but I think it was really good. I thought it was pretty effective and it was direct. No? Okay.
No, actually, I can see it if presented correctly.
Yeah.
If they were like, we love you very, very much, and we're glad you're here. However,
you were the best mistake we ever made.
Yeah. You ruined my life.
You ruined our lives.
Was that how did they give it to you?
I just remember being like 13, and it was like my dad. So we have a really—he's more like a brother because I don't know our relationship. Nice. Yeah, because he kind of had me young, and it was.
How old was he?
16.
I mean, he was like 25, which isn't young for the time, but young for him because it was like hooking up. It wasn't intentional. My grandma.
If I had a kid at 25, the kid and the mother and me would all be dead.
Oh. Yeah, and they were forced to get married. And at this time in Ireland, there was no divorce wasn't legal. He thought he was like getting into this lifelong just because he had had sex. So he did end up getting a divorce when it became legal. I think he was like the first person there. But he just was like, look, you were an accident, so use condoms. And then he used a different example of someone else he knew who did use condom and it broke. So he's like, just be careful.
But he was like, I'm glad you're here.
I mean, he's glad I'm here.
Well, that voice, folks, is the wonderful Katie Boyle. Thanks for coming on, Katie.
I'm sure he's glad I'm here.
Yeah, Katie Boyle. We also have Brendan Sagalow here today.
Yes. What up. Being here, brother. Two beautiful, wonderful, funny guests.
I wanted to add one more thing. I read a really good thing online about the schools that buy like books for kids.
Right.
A little Muslim boy said he had two moms.
Aww.
And the school was pumped on it. And they're like, look how progressive this is. Yeah. It's a Middle Eastern lesbian family. Right. No, it was a dad with two wives.
Nice.
And they had to retract everything they had announced.
Oh, I love that. Like, oh, that's beautiful.
No. They actually believe in women as less than a person.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I actually found a whole bunch of LGBTQ books for children. The Gay BCs, Mama, Mama, and Me.
The Gay BCs
that,
is
the Gay BCs sounds like something they would warn you about on Fox News.
Gay BCs.
Are your kids being taught the Gay BCs?
Yeah.
I remember the book. It was called Wonderful Questions About Growing Up.
Oh, that's nice.
That's a good title.
I learned as a 31-year-old adult that there's like all this shit behind my boobs that I didn't know about.
What's behind your boobs?
Like all these like nerve, like
behind boob number one.
Or where your stomach moves up when you're pregnant. That was like horrifying.
Yeah.
I know nothing about my body.
Yeah.
It was really. And
you were an accident.
Well, yeah. But it says ages like 5 to 10, and I'm like, wow.
I bet we wouldn't know most of it.
Yeah, we should know.
We know nothing.
We should, Alex, bring up a visual of a penis or vagina with diagrams and see if we can name all the parts.
Oh, absolutely.
I couldn't name any
I can name them.
I can name testicles and I can name...
I can name them.
Vein.
I can name them and I know about them.
Yeah. The good vein.
Yeah. The main vein.
The main vein, man. I only found out recently that your vagina is just the inside and that the rest is vulva.
The vulva. Wow.
Which is really confusing because they're like, don't wash your vagina. So then you're like, when you think vagina's everywhere, you're like, do I not wash my whole... And then you find that that's vulva, and you're like,
"What's vulva?
So
the front
outside.
Part?
I've talked about that.
Depending on the chick you're banging.
I mean, being a pedophile is just the most vulgar, terrible, awful thing in the world. But I just couldn't imagine the smells too.
What did you say?
Kids are dirty.
Oh, right? I don't think
if you're getting told to not wash your vagina, I can't imagine how bad you're smelling.
What? No. This was when I was like 20. I read it in a magazine in a dentist office, and it said,
"Oh, really?"
It said your vagina is a self-cleaning organism, and I was like, "What? I'm not meant to wash my vagina." And then I found out that it's vulva. So I still was washing it because I was like, "But not meant to put." They're trying to explain you're not meant to put anything up there, but if you don't know the terminology,
it's like jerking off with soap. And it gets in your pee hole. You're not supposed to do that.
Oh, and it burns the fuck out of it.
Although after I've had anal sex, I poured hydrogen peroxide in my pee hole to get rid of bacteria. Not a
really?
Good idea. Yeah.
Are you joking?
No.
How do you even have that? Where do you get something like that?
I will say, I'm prone to epididymitis, and ever since I started doing that, No epididymitis.
What's epididymitis?
Epididymitis is a swelling of the epididymis, which located on top of the testicle that connects the testicle your penis, and that's where the sperm travels through.
Do you have a foreskin?
No.
Oh.
But your epididymitis swells? Can get infected, or if bacteria gets in your urethra, you can get a swallen epididymitis.
UTI.
My balls are just fucking huge.
If you come if you come and pinch it, it'll swell your epididymis. And
do you pinch it when you come?
Look at Ian's swollen ass epididymis.
That's what it gets like, and you can feel a little spring.
This motherfucker's got a swollen epididymis.
You see that lump?
That's what you have if you have big balls.
Just have big balls forever. I don't have a swollen nothing. It doesn't
hurt.
You
see that lump? It feels like a spring, and I have chronic epididymitis, so I have to get shots in my back. In my spine every 6 months.
Oh my God.
It's fucking gnarly. Do you have a spring? Your balls are like Tigger?
Yeah. Every time I come, I go, woohoo! It was very painful, incredibly painful. It got to a point where I couldn't walk. I'd walk and I'd have
to
sit
you come
down.
And then you go, TTFN, ta ta for now. And then you hop out on your fucking tail.
That tranny for now.
I love putting my Winnie in your poo.
I was just going to say, you know, I almost had to have surgery if these shots didn't work. And if you get rid of your epididymis, you can't have kids.
Ah, jeez.
Yeah.
Are you planning on having kids?
No. But.
So it doesn't matter anyway.
You want the option just in case?
It sucks. No, I don't. Maybe. I got cats. And can we see a diagram to look at? See if we can name stuff. If you don't know the epididymis, you're not going to know.
I told you that immediately. I do not know. I only know balls.
Wait, what's this?
Oh, I brought up a women's diagram.
Oh, this is a vagina.
Yeah, we can do women.
Okay.
All right.
I don't even know even more.
I don't understand any of this.
So some of them are filled in, but you have some open ones.
I look at it as there's a vagina and then the meat around the vagina.
What do you call the skin surrounding the vagina?
A woman.
I was like, don't ask me.
Yeah. Like
I just
ligament.
Learned you're not supposed to clean your pussy.
Come on, pop it up. Actually, everyone's going to fail.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. I bow out of this competition because I'm not going to get any of it.
I feel like I know the top two left boxes.
Oh, those are the boxes. Okay.
The whole thing is a box.
Yeah, they're called Natalie and Alex.
Ovary?
Top one I think is ovary.
Bottom left
clitoris
is
vaginal canal.
Bottom left is the urethra.
Yes, urethra, and then the one next to that is the canal.
Yes, vaginal canal.
There's the vagina and then the butt pussy.
This one's uterus, I think.
Yes.
This one's fallopian tube, I think.
The bottom right is cervix.
Fallopian. What a fun word, you fallopian.
The top right is
Wait, what's that one?
Wait, I guess this one is the cervix. Yeah. Well, then what's this? Is the bladder? I guess.
Oh, that's the bladder.
What's the?
It's got pee in it. That's why it's yellow.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's
why. What part of it sits on my nose?
That's why
you squirt.
That's why. See, the G spot is located. Right there where the mouse is. That's why. It's pee. When people think
I actually can't find the G spot.
When they go, I'm gonna pee. That's when you.
Oh, really? Did they say I'm gonna pee?
Yeah, it feels squirt. Like I'm peeing.
Well, I never orgasmed for so long because I thought it was me about to pee. So when I was younger, I'd just be like, good, thanks.
Those first couple of jerks when I was younger, I literally just started going until that, you know, moment. And I would stop and I'm like, that's masturbating. And then
that's how you get epididymitis.
And then one day I just kept going and I came and I went, oh, that's masturbating.
Did you jizz?
Like some clear fluid. I was young.
Mm.
So it came out like goos.
Yeah, the first few times you know, when you come too early, it's like when a cat throws up. Like you get like the like.
Dick is going.
You gave your dick broccoli.
Yeah, and as a kid, when you're jerking off and you come, you look like a dog humping a pillow. You're like.
The first time I jerked off, I was laying on the couch in my living room, and I had the blanket over me, and the maid was cleaning up.
Shut up.
Like, the cleaning lady was cleaning up stuff.
In the room?
Yeah.
Oh my God!
By the way, that's
I
a
thought
fetish.
You lived
my
first, in Long Island.
That's a fetish.
I did live in Long Island.
That feels like the prince of.
No. It was like a cleaning lady. It was like you know, some woman who.
But, so
my grandparents had a legal woman. Lady. I would never jerk off in front of Darlene.
I forgot her name. It was like Ashanti or something.
Wow.
But yeah, my first my first
are you
sexual
sure you
weren't
jerking off in front of the TV? Shanti was on.
My babysitter. My babysitter DMX was on.
Oh my God.
I wonder if that woman, she probably noticed, did she?
She 100% noticed and went, just keep dusting.
You would notice.
She's going, oh, I'm not being paid enough for this shit.
Yeah, she was like, I was a doctor in my country.
Oh, God.
That's a whole fetish where dudes will set up like a camera of them jerking off and leave the hotel room door unlocked.
Yes.
And see what the maid does when she comes in.
Yes. Have you ever seen the guys that come when they're getting their balls waxed?
No.
What?
Yep.
Can we pull that up? They come while they're getting their balls waxed. Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you something about the old maid situation that you just brought up. Mm-hmm. Has there been a video, not scripted or made up,
of a boy jerking off in front of his maid in Long Island?
Of a boy. No, of somebody leaving the door open to jerk off and then the maid fucking that person.
There's been ones where I think, and I don't know if they're scripted, but they're shot well. Where the maid does come over and give it a few tugs.
This is what I hate about
and
this.
And they're always like old Mexican ladies. So I'm like, this could be 50-50.
Yeah. Well, what would you do if you walked into a room and there's a guy in the bed just naked with a GoPro strapped to his head?
Yeah. Whoops. Whoops. What are you going to do about this?
It's usually like their computer camera.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, I feel bad for the maids because you know when it's like someone, say.
Yeah, I mean, that's terrible.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's all, I think we all feel bad for the maids.
Wait a minute. I feel bad for the maids because they're getting sexually harassed.
None of us are like, hey, this is good.
Who do they, because you know the way if it happens, like in our world, they like write a blog or tweet it. Who do they maids get to talk to?
Maid forum.
St. Virgin of Guadalupe.
They go to the,
Reddit/r/cleaning lady.
We should look that up. Maybe there is a room 202 needs to be.
They pull the laminated Bible pages out of their fucking purse and deal with it.
They go, Deus, Deus.
Men are disgusting.
Women are also cruel.
I have a guy.
What the fuck?
Have you been watching the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial?
Yeah. This is going to get swept right under the fucking rug, and no one's going to talk about it.
That's what you ask her next. After you come, you're like, hey, can you sweep this under the rug?
Oh, no.
That's great.
Did you guys see the guy who left out a bag of what the cleaning guy thought was blow?
Dude. Yes.
Oh,
incredible.
What happened?
Alex,
I don't know if you can find it. It's a guy came back to his hotel room and he left a bag of ketamine and the cleaning guy thought it was blow, so he treated himself and he came back and the guy was like stuck in a K-hole on his bed.
Oh my God.
But he was like in permanent horror pose. You know, on.
Is there a video of this?
He's got pictures of it.
Dude.
You know, in Treehouse of Horror, when Willy's Freddy Krueger. And he kills Martin.
Yeah.
And the sheet falls off of Martin and he's got horror face.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the guy's face.
No, go to the other. Zoom in on his face. Go to the other. He looks dead, first of all. Zoom in on that.
Only come back from breakfast to find the cleaner had found my bag of special. Okay. Silly cunt.
Oh, it's obviously a British guy or Irish guy. Yeah. Actually, it's probably Irish if it's ketamine.
It's Tulum.
Yeah, look at him. He looks dead.
Yeah. Looks dead.
Oh my God.
We'll go back to the words too.
Yeah.
Silly cunt.
Feet are dangling.
You must have thought it was Callie. Found him in cat hole in the room. And there should be one picture of him like walking out too.
I love the emojis. Dude, I these are these are the best
one guy.
Look at the guy's face in the background.
Oh my God.
Oh, he's fired. That's so sad.
I bet they just sat him down for like in a couple hours.
Really?
He's
I don't
know. No way. Man. That man is fired.
He's fired. He went through someone's stuff.
He went through someone's stuff.
He was caught nose handed or whatever.
Yeah, but it's not like you tell the hotel he found my ketamine.
Oh, yeah, but he is going to tell the hotel. He just posted it all
he
over
He didn't
the
tell the
internet.
Hotel. He told the world.
Yeah, that's on the internet.
He was caught nose-whited.
He was found on the internet.
That's better. That's
what you wanted to say.
Yeah, that's
Alex,
what, yeah.
I'm going to send you
It took me
picture.
A second to think of it, too. Thank I was like, what the fuck
I don't
is
do
it?
Jokes, so I was
it's
like,
red,
I don't know.
Red-handed, nose-white. I don't do jokes. I don't do jokes. I don't know.
I have no idea what it is. I don't know where you put ketamine.
In your nose.
Put it in your nose.
Yeah.
In the back of whoever's emceeing's car. on your way back from Norwalk, Connecticut, because nobody came to the second show and you're depressed.
Yeah, I've never left.
Actually, we called it the Sagalo 9.
The Sagalo 9, yeah.
The Sagalo 9. We had a great 7, and then nobody came to the 9 o'clock.
Killer
and we 7 were all
o'clock at the BJ Ryan's in Norwalk, Connecticut, and then the 9 o'clock just turns into like a. Like you want to kill yourself right after.
Did you eat a steak with your hand?
With my bare hands. I ate a steak driving home, going 100 miles an hour with my bare hands. Ian, are you tweeting something?
No.
Ian's sending Alex something to bring up.
I'm sending Alex the two photos. First of all, I sent her one. Can you say, okay, pop up the guy smiling, and then when I say something about this documentary, pop up the other. Okay.
I love this. I love this little game.
Yeah. Did you get them?
Yeah, I'm just waiting for them to come through on my email.
I like your tattoo with the squigglies, the little octopusy guy.
Oh, thank you. That is a squid pig from the Rejected by a cartoonist named Don Hertzfeldt.
Man, remember when YouTube was like the fucking best? Now it's all
A bigger Ebaum's world.
kind of, where it's like... There was no like social media, so it was like, did you see this video? You gotta go home and watch this video. Then you'd watch it, and then you'd like meet up with the people the next day and talk about it. It was all that shit.
I don't remember that.
I remember that. I remember being very excited because it wasn't like it was on your phone.
Yeah, you did like load up the
and how? Yeah. Like I still say stuff from that video.
I'm feeling fat and sassy. Tuesday's coming. Did you bring your coat?
Yeah, I live in a giant bucket.
Brandon has the best laugh. Your laugh is just joy.
Yeah, I have fun.
For the love of all that's holy, my anus is bleeding.
Yeah, dude, you guys gotta go home and watch that fucking video, man.
We have a chance to watch it right now. You're like,
no, it's
old
long.
School.
It's long. It is long. Yeah.
No. Is it longer than waiting for Alex to pop these videos up?
I will say this.
There, look at him.
it's a great photo.
When you nutted, but she's still sucking.
I hope that's his profile pic now.
Yeah.
I mean, it says the hotel on his shirt.
Yeah, that's not good,
yeah,
I guess.
No. I would want to stay at that hotel and and give a negative review of like, I wish my cleaning guy was that little man.
No, you go to that hotel and try to relive the experience. Like, did you ever see that Netflix documentary about like the mystery? It was like a 4-part documentary on Netflix about that girl who stayed in the hotel in LA and then she died.
Oh, it was so
Eliza
long.
Lamb. It could have been one episode. It could have been. Yeah, we left the latch unlocked.
Yeah, and she fell in because she was probably on drugs.
Yeah, she was having a bipolar episode, and then they blamed it on this poor, like,
metal guy
who had to, like, change his whole identity because people were going after him.
That
all
poor
those
fucking
internet
guy.
Sleuths. It
and
was
people
so sad.
Like stay in that hotel and try to relive the experience.
Katie,
are
you familiar what we're talking about?
Yeah, I remember something like that. The water started to taste bad or something.
What happened was this chick was bananas, and she was staying at essentially a hostel, but like a shit hotel.
What's the name of the hotel?
It was like the Cecil Hotel.
Yeah, the Cecil.
The Cecil. Yeah,
it's like where Richard Ramirez lived, the Night Stalker. And it's like a notorious shithole, like a lot of drug addicts.
It's
there.
Like the Chelsea Hotel or St. Mark's Hotel.
One of the couples they talked to, because they advertised it. Basically, there was a separate entrance and they reopened it as a high end hotel, but you had to take the elevator past the downstairs rooms, which were a flop house, basically. And this couple's like, we paid all this money and it's the worst experience of our life. You know, they told us not to go outside. There's homeless people screaming at us. So they're locked up in the hotel and they take a shower and the water comes out like gray black. The water tastes terrible here. They look in the water unit and it's just, I have a term I want to use.
Decomposed body?
Well, that's something.
It's just a
melted wonton.
It's just
I thought the water was going to be yellow.
It's just a big old pot of gook soup.
I denounce these jokes.
Oh, is that a slur?
Yeah.
You know what? I need a book
that's
on
how
all
you
the
react.
No, I need a book on all this. No, no, I swear to God, because it's
you really get out.
You really get out of it by going.
Yeah.
Was that a slur?
Yeah. No, get the book and set aside a couple hours for giggle time.
No, because I don't know any of the slurs, and you know that artist.
Giggle times are a retard.
Wait, you know the artist Jeff and K O O N S.
Yeah.
Okay, so I went to art college and I didn't know that that's also a slur. And so I shouted when we were in Chinatown in San Francisco because I saw that there was one in the window and I said, oh, look, there's a... And then I said it, and then there was these Asian people walking by, and my boyfriend was like, that's a slur, don't shout that. And I was like, okay, so then I just presumed it was a slur for Asian people. And then I met up with my black friend later and I was like, you'll never guess what I shouted. And I told him, and he was like...
What the hell? Yeah,
he was like, "Do you know what that means?"
Slur for black people. So when you said it, the Asians were probably like, "Yeah, we agree."
Yeah, they're confused. Yeah.
And then
that's also another way.
And then my black friend was like, "You know, that's a slur for black people." And I was like, "Oh God!" I was like, "I'm never saying Jeff this word ever again."
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
The artist needs to change.
You should have heard his original name.
Jeff N-word.
I accidentally taught my cousin racism. So my I have Cuban side of my family, but my uncle's brother and his family lives in Maine, and I don't think there's any Hispanic people where they live. They're like super affluent, and like it's just white. And they were over for a holiday, and my uncle was busting his nephew's balls, and I'm like, hey Alex, the next time Jesus gets on your case, just be like, shut up, Speck. And he's like, okay, I'm going to do that.
That's not accidental at all.
No. Okay, well, listen. He was like 13.
Purely calculated.
He was like 13. He was 13. Racism.
I was questioning, did I know what accidentally meant?
Yeah. He was like 13, 14. So I just assumed that he was in on it already. So then my uncle starts busting his balls and he goes, shut up, prick. And his dad goes, Alex. And he goes, Zach told me to say it. And I went, I said, call him a spick. And he goes, what's a spick? And I went, oh no.
Oh, so he didn't even say the right thing. That's adorable.
Yeah, that's fun.
That's cute.
Yeah, a little cute racism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did we go from the dead woman in the bathtub?
You
or
fucking
the water?
Said it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you said the racial slur.
Yeah.
I didn't say any slurs.
Yeah, you did.
I don't know.
Oh, shit. What was the slur?
You didn't.
Gaslighting. You'll get caught up in the, in the flames.
That does. Gaslighting sounds like an 80s rock ballad song.
Right? Gaslighting. You'll get caught in the flames.
I'm the worst to be gaslighted because they'll be like, yeah, you did this. And I'm like, oh, did I?
Yeah,
oh.
You
and
just
then
don't
they're
care.
Like,
yeah.
Oh. Everybody takes the fire out of their wings.
Yeah.
Hey there, responsible adults over the age of 21 living in a state where Delta 8 is legal. Guys, I know you love to get high, and I want to get high with you, which is why we need to go to yodelta.com and stock up on high quality, lab tested Delta 8. They sent me vapes. They sent me gummies. Ian did not partake, but I will tell you, these things are phenomenal. So if you're over the age of 21 and you live in one of the states where it's legal, you gotta try it. You guys know what Delta 8 is. It's something found in hemp, and it can be legally shipped to various states, and most importantly, it gets you high. You can find a mix of gummies and vapes for all your getting stoned needs, but let me tell you, these work, and these products should be taken responsibly. So head on over to YoDelta.com, the official Delta 8 sponsor of the Gas Digital Network. And if you use our promo code GAS, you're going to get 25% off. One more time, that's promo code GAS for 25% off at YoDelta, home of the Delta 8 that'll get you high. Now let's get back into our silly show. Certain old-timey slurs are just always funny. Especially when the other person you're talking to does not know them, and you get to redefine them and see if they'll use them in real life.
Isn't the best when you get to like tell someone what a slur? Like you go like, "That's a slur."
I had my wife calling the cat.
Yeah.
I had my wife calling the cat a jigaboo for a month.
Wait, but what's that a slur for?
Black people.
Oh my god! You know what I did? Because in Ireland, a slang for sandwiches, and it's all over the restaurants, all over the lunch shops. You know the slang.
Sand. Hmm.
Yeah. So I didn't know that that was a.
Wait. Is the slang for sandwiches?
No. It's.
What are they, a pumpernickel?
No, not the N word. It's a short for sandwich, okay? But not sandwich and S A M.
Sammy?
No, well, you because I don't want to say it because I don't want to get in trouble. But
Wedge. Ian, help me.
Whisper it. Oh,
yeah. What?
So
Sambo.
Yeah, but so I didn't know.
Okay.
I didn't know that's a slur. I didn't know that's a slur, and so because
it is?
In Ireland you'd always say like, and it'd be all over, and the UK it's all over the shops and stuff. So I'm working here in America, and they said, "Oh, will you start doing the Instagram while you're bartender the day?" And I post up like, "Oh, we've
oh
great,
my god,
we've great what's here. Come in, $10."
Wait. So this is
that's a good deal.
Hilarious. What is that a slur for?
Like little Sambo, like a little Sambo would be like the classic like racist portrayal of a little black kid with the curly hair and the big lips.
I didn't know.
And in Ireland, that's just a sandwich.
Where does this come from?
Dude,
I've been saying that all day. My grandmother used to make me sit on her lap and read her a book called Little Black Sambo.
Whoa.
About a little African boy that got chased by tigers and he made them run so fast around the tree they turned into butter.
I do not remember.
Yeah.
I do not remember the Jungle Book like that.
Dude, I think an original of that is worth like a ton of money. But I never like understood the correlation.
They go for a lot at auction.
It's like, this is just a nice book. But my grandmother had a whole, I think she was trying to teach me, I think she was pulling a Zach.
Yeah, what the heck is this, man?
That is very strange.
Right? She had it on her mantle. I never fucking understood. She was old school Italian.
She's from a different time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She would go, isn't he funny looking? I was like, no, I don't understand what you're saying.
Did you get that at the Scholastic Book Fair? the book?
Why are you saying that?
I don't know, because it's a fun thing to say, I guess.
Oh, wow.
Jesus
Christ. I told a story about how I, at a book fair, me and a buddy.
Oh, my God.
What?
No, that really sense.
Yeah. By the way, what the fuck?
Okay, I have another story about myself.
Real quick, wait. No.
This is how shattered Ian's life is. He thinks everyone is secretly speaking code to his gay escapades as a child.
Wait, yeah, what happened?
I mean, you ever play kickball? And he's like, leave it alone, man! Get over it!
No, me and a buddy.
I was just a boy!
Yeah. Yep.
I think I pieced the puzzle together.
At a Scholastic Book Fair, me and a pal went away to read in the woods. And I told that story, you know, people thought it was funny or whatever, and then someone that listens to the podcast I told on made a shirt that said, I got my dick sucked at the Scholastic Book Fair.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I'm
awesome.
Like, I think that's from, I need royalties.
Yeah, 100%.
I know, I should be like, hey, can you put my face on that or something?
At least send it to me.
Or at least your Instagram handle.
Yeah. I know.
It's like the Animorphs book, but it's a kid turning into a gay guy.
I have one more as well, okay? So in Ireland, we call underwear, you know what we call underwear?
Oh, yep, knickers.
Right, so when I first came over here and was doing comedy, and I heard about all the women selling their underwear, I got on stage and I said, it's so weird that you sell your... And then I went to do the bit, and then Justin Flanagan got up afterwards because it was so awkward. The audience were all looking at me, and he got up and he was like, you dumb cunts, that's my Irish friend. They say underwear is, and you guys thought she was saying that it's weird that you sell black people.
Yeah.
And they all went, oh, and I was like, oh, thank God for Justin Flanagan.
Oh, you ever sit around eating a Sambo on your knickers?
Flanagan is fucking great. Do you guys remember him?
Yeah, I love Justin
Flanagan. Dude, me too. I had a meltdown in front of him
once. He's the fucking best.
On stage.
I wish he still did comedy. But he's like a union UPS guy now.
I think he does a little bit in Jersey with Jenny, yeah.
I fucking love him. Yeah, oh my God, really Jenny! Yeah. She was great!
Jenny, yeah.
Wow.
What a great couple, too.
Little trip down memory lane we're taking right now.
So nice. I used to have to walk like a 20-minute walk to after like late-night Creek Mikes to my home because I lived like in a cheap place up got in deep Queens. But he would call, he would stay on the phone the whole way because he'd be going back to Jersey.
He's a good dude.
It's nice.
Oh, yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
He caught me. He caught me on the tail end.
It's nice how he wanted to fuck you.
What?
No. No, he was a sweet guy.
He's a sweetheart.
Oh, I'm fucking kidding, man.
Come on.
Apologize to Flanagan.
Did you get your dick sucked on an elastic?
Yeah.
Elastic?
Elastic.
What's it called?
An electric book fair.
Flanagan caught me at the end of quite a bender one night. And I just remember he goes, You got a lot of vices, yo.
Remember his joke, drippy faucet? I can't do it. I sound British when I try to do it.
Drippy faucet.
Drippy faucet. What is that?
I don't know it, but
he had a joke about a tap and a faucet. And
yeah,
dripping.
I had a mental breakdown on at this show that we were both on, and I was like, fuck this. I was really going full fucking chode, being like, I don't fucking need this shit, blah, 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 blah. And then I got off and I was like, the crowd fucking sucks. And then he went on and just murdered. And I was like, ah, damn. And he's like the worst guy because you know he's going to be like,
rub it in your face.
He's going to rub it in your face. Yeah, he's going to be like, you had a fucking mental breakdown, but I liked him.
Yeah. He's a better Mike Racine.
No.
Aren't we all?
Take it back. I sucked his dick in a book fair.
Here we go. Yeah. Katie goes, he's like a better Mike Racine. Ian goes, why would you say that?
Listen, we both know that's not true. Mike Racine would never be seen around books.
He would never be re-seen around
Dude,
books.
Dude, one time, do you guys remember Chris Tinkle?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. He had a show where his
psychiatrist... What a little trip down memory lane we're taking.
Where his psychiatrist was supposed to, after everyone's set, come up and be like, well, you know, I think you talking about this means blah, blah.
That's awesome.
But his psychiatrist secretly wanted to be a stand-up. So he was supposed to give like a little intro, like this is who I am and what I'm going to be doing at the show. And instead, he did 20 minutes of what he thought was stand-up. His whole family was there. They were videotaping it. He like sandbagged the show. Every comic
sandbagged the show.
He didn't. That's what she calls.
He samboed the show.
Never say words again. Before I speak each time, I'm going to Google each word.
And to be fair, I didn't know that was a slur. Yeah. So I can still say it for 24 hours. Anyway, I'm sorry.
What happened though? The therapist. He took 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Terrible. Awful bar show. God bless Tinkle for putting it on. The guy didn't even psychoanalyze people between sets.
He just told more jokes.
He didn't even go up. He was like talking to his family the whole time. Terrible. Every comic goes up, bombs, eats their dick in the most horrific way. And Grant Gordon was supposed to come to the show, and he texts and goes, hey, I'm like a block away. Is it worth it? The last comic was up, and we're like, look, man, it's fucking terrible. You can come to hang, but, you know, you don't have to go on. It's, like, really bad. He goes, no, if everyone's bombing, I'll bomb with you. Why not?
Oh,
like,
let's do it. Nice.
He goes up and demolishes.
Really?
And he's telling jokes, and during the laughter, he looks over, he's like, I'm so sorry. And like, keep going. It was so funny.
That's hilarious.
And when he walked off, we were all like,
yeah, you son of a bitch. Yeah, I hate you, but yeah, I respect you.
I am real quick to cancel when I have a bad feeling.
Oh, yeah.
I texted you yesterday.
Yeah, I wish you told me you had canceled.
I texted Sagalow yesterday morning.
Yeah, so I'm. We have a show that when I got booked, I didn't even know.
We got booked for this months ago.
What show?
It's a fat theme show months ago, too.
No.
So, yeah. From this girl who's in Boston, and she's like nice, but she's like super aggressive and like one of those people that says exactly what she's thinking at the moment. You'd think so, but
wait, is she a comic in the city?
No.
Okay.
No, she's in Boston. She's a new comic. But she put together a show. I didn't even know it was fat themed.
Where at?
Yeah, well, you found out it was fat themed after you got the flyer.
Yeah.
Which is already funny. It was a horrible way to find out your
Yeah. She just booked me on a show. And then on the flyer was like, all fats all night. And it was like, what the fuck? And the only...
I literally, on Monday, told my therapist, I think I'm going to cancel on this show because it feels like exploitation.
It's right. Complete exploitation, and it's so...
It's fat exploitation.
Yes.
But I go, look, she's been promoting it for months. She's coming from,
Boston.
You know, a different city. She's coming from Boston.
Do I know her?
Yeah. No. Oh, you do? Oh.
You might. We'll talk after.
So, she's coming from Boston. I figure it's going to be like a big show.
Where was it at?
Broadway Comedy Club.
Ugh.
Yeah. Which
that
I'm
was
like,
my other clue.
Yeah. Boo. Awful.
So then I text you yesterday and I'm like, hey, I think I'm going to bail on this. And you went, that's tonight?
Yeah, I didn't even know. So I didn't have it in my calendar or anything. And I was like, okay. And I was like, I'm going to do this because for sure it's going to happen and there's going to be a good show. It didn't even occur to me.
Well, you also said, I have new bits and I want money.
Yeah. And she didn't pay me. And
wait, you showed up and it didn't happen.
No, no. I showed up and it happened. She's hammered. They have a host go up. I guess they do this at Broadway, but they have a host go up and not a host, a comic go up for like 2 minutes and bring up the host. And this guy did jokes coming up. So it was like a pre-host host.
Downstairs or upstairs?
Downstairs. There's seven people in the audience. Good he goes, God. I mean, it's one of those where I look at myself and I'm like, what the fuck am I, why would I do this?
How much is it?
Why did I do this? I thought I was getting paid because she said, obviously, we're all getting paid. And then I text, well, let me say, so the pre-host host goes up. He's a fat guy. Does all of the hackiest fat material you can, that
had
you can
in
think.
Your notebook?
You go, oh. That I had in my, yeah. I'm like scratching up. I'm going
by the way, half
going
three, I knew I had to close and I went, people are going to do half my shit.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm going through.
I'm not creative.
Y'all
have a fucking fat person? You know what that's like?
Y'all have a good the jigglies?
She immediately comes up to me and she's like, this club is fucking us. Blah, 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 blah. I'm so hammered too. I've never hosted before. She's saying all of this. Goes up, does 5 minutes, takes a hamburger out of her dress.
No.
Out of her bra.
No.
And there was room. And throws it on the stage.
No.
And then goes and sits right in the front row with three of her other friends who I go up first. The entire time they're going, oh. Like, I'll do a joke that's, like, sad or whatever, and it's supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're like, oh. And then as I'm bombing, the host took a hamburger out of her dress again and threw it on the stage.
You're kidding me.
And it was incredibly dehumanizing.
I hate her.
You're kidding me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I did that.
Bro.
I know. You could have walked off at that.
This is an intervention.
I know, dude. I don't know
and
why
you
I'm
didn't
doing
get
these.
I would have not left without my pay.
Mm-hmm. I needed to get the fuck out of there, dude. It was one of those where I was like,
I would have gone nuclear.
Yeah, I was. I got banned from there. I am banned from there.
Yeah.
I just don't abide.
I had it out with that old manager, Eric. I fucking lost it in his office.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he was like, you're no longer allowed here. I was like, I don't even need to be here.
Yeah. These people, they're totally, speaking of exploitation,
your shit.
Every host is getting like $10. That's and if you're a fucking comic about. And you're hosting at a club for $10, you're a fucking scab, okay? You're the reason that they're trying to fuck us everywhere else.
Yeah.
I
ask for more pay and you say, if you throw a hamburger at me, make sure I can eat it.
And I did eat it.
It was in the wrapper.
It was in the wrapper. It's on the ground. I'm fucking upset. The minute I bomb, I need some sort of passion
it's
food.
It's okay. I'm skinny. I would have eaten it too.
Yeah,
okay?
I had two of
you
them.
You wouldn't have been allowed on the show.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, you're not booked,
I'm on a malnutrition show next week.
Shut up.
Wait, you're so right, though. One thing annoys me. No, but I got malnutrition. The doctor said it. I'm malnutrition. Everybody's like, oh my God, how do you work out? And I'm like, I just forget to eat.
I can see your spine. So cool.
Yeah. You look like Lewis's dog.
but you were right about what you said. It's and really annoying. And comedians get so greedy for spots, and especially newer comedians, that they'll like take for less and then the show's worse. But I remember the first college gig I got offered. I like texted Shane and Leclerc because they said, well, how much would you do it for? And I texted the guys that I know that do because I didn't want to ask for less and screw them over. They were like, don't ask for less than this. And I was like, cool, gotcha. And I'll do that with you too if
and
I have
they were
any
like no. You're like, fuck.
Fuck these guys. But it's like important because there's no HR, there's no system of rates. We have to make sure we talk to each other.
For
and not
sure.
$10 hosting? That's insane. That you will then go down like a couple of streets and then the other clubs are giving $150 to host.
Yeah.
So I want to
give my perspective of yesterday. I wake up, I go, I'm not going. I can't do it. I'm sitting here yesterday telling people I'm going to bail on this show. It feels exploitive.
Right.
So I messaged the chick in the morning, hey, how are ticket sales looking? Which was me kind of going, I'm probably not showing up for this.
Yeah. I should have fucking asked.
And she goes, I don't know. I haven't talked to the club in days.
Wolf.
And I'm like, not good. And she goes, but I'm bringing hamburgers. And I went, this isn't good. And then I text her again.
Fuck!
Hey, I'm thinking about leaving. I live far away, and if there's not going to be people there, I'm probably not going to come. And she's like, we'll have fun without you, LOL, but I'm bringing hamburgers. And I'm like, this...
She sounds like a hunter.
It's so dehumanizing. Right. She like brings you up. She's like, this guy, he's actually, you know, he's not that fat, but he's still pretty fat. Jesus. Anyway,
you're kidding me.
I'm not kidding you, dude. It's incredibly
dehumanizing. I think I was closing because I was the fattest.
That is what it was.
What, they went in order of fats?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no.
I just saw a picture of Andy Malafarina posted a picture of him on stage with McDonald's on stage, and he wrote, this is not my McDonald's.
Dude.
My God. Also, I feel like when there's like shows
can
like
you
that.
Bring up the flyer?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a flyer of like a, it's a pretty good flyer, to be honest. Like, it was professionally made.
I don't know if we'll be tagging.
I mean, yeah, I didn't post about it.
I did not promote this at all.
Dude, I would do a reverse Dave Chappelle. I would run off the stage and tackle them.
And you would break your neck.
Yeah.
Buddy, I'm sorry.
I know. Well,
I hope this is a lesson in the power of saying no.
Last night at 8 o'clock, I just got a text from Brandon. Is. You made the right decision. She threw a hamburger at me.
Bro.
It's just so strange because usually those shows are like body positivity and like, hey,
it was called,
you know,
body negativity.
Oh, no. Jesus. Stop. I can't.
It's an addiction to like when you have this, like when it's the addiction to the jokes. I want to go up and I want to try my new fucking jokes. And I'll go, you don't think about, like, when, yeah, have you ever been on a show and everyone before you is bombing and you're still like,
I'm the one.
I'll get them.
Of course.
I always say that is like, that's like being in a line of people being shot at by like a bunch of other people and thinking like, well, they might not shoot me. And then just getting on stage and then fucking dying. You know?
And that's Broadway Comedy Club.
Yeah, that place should be burned down.
Dude, I will say there's a power in saying no, and like it I've done that a couple times where I've walked in and seen it and gone,
of course.
I don't need this.
Of course.
And then leaving, and I felt like so much better about myself. Yeah. Like I'm in a good place right now, and I know if I go up, I'm gonna attack the audience, I'm gonna lose my shit, I'm gonna hate myself. I don't need to do that. And like leaving, it has felt so much
good. My new rule is if I show up to the place before the show and it's filled with people who do not know there's about to be comedy, I won't go up.
Yeah. And also, as well, like anytime, so me and Lindsay have that Friday show at QED, and it's like a 7-year-old show because it was at somewhere before. But
oh, yeah, what's that? Transplant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's great. And
great
then
show, check it out.
I always will text, though, because now it's a weekly, so sometimes there might be like one of the month where it's less people, maybe 7, but I'll always in the morning ask Cambry for the ticket sales, and I'll group message everybody and say, this is how many people are coming. If you don't want to come out to Astoria for that many, no worries. Even if it's like 20 people.
Yeah, well, so, you're of sane body and mind.
It's just so annoying that
this
no
woman
one else...
was of...
Yeah, your brain is not filled with fat.
Where I went to a show recently where when I texted because I was running late from New York, and I texted being like, look, I'm going to be late. And then he was like, still come. And I was like, was there an audience? And he was like, yeah, get there. The audience is the comedians. And I was like, dude, this isn't. And I came an extra like 45 minutes out of my way home. And he was like, well, we'll have fun. And I still didn't leave. And I was on stage going, what am I doing? Yeah. So then the next time he booked me, I said no.
Oh, I also had a spot after that I was like,
Why did you do the new jokes on that?
I did. I mean, I still did the show, you know what I mean? But, like, what I'm saying is I should have walked in and went, no.
Yeah, you will next time, though.
Dude, I'm telling you, do it. You'll feel so much better. I did that during the pandemic. You know when we were just doing everything?
Yeah.
And you're like, I gotta. And I was, like, feeling
And some of us stayed home and drank way too much. And fucked themselves up for life because they went through a spiraling depression.
And I went up, and it was just like, it was awful. It was outside of this thing. No one was paying attention. Everyone was in clusters.
Yeah.
It was like when like COVID was like really bad. No one had on masks. And I was like, I don't need this. And I said something to the producer, and I was like, this guy's real funny. Put him out. And I walked away, and I felt so like,
yeah,
you advocated for yourself. You feel good. Ugh. And then I felt good, and I had to sabotage it, so I did something incredibly bad.
Well, you went to the Scholastic Book Fair.
I went back to the book fair, but this time as an adult.
Any children want to read in the woods?
Yeah. No, but but anyway.
What did you do?
Well, what I called...
One fish, two fish, red fish, Jew face.
One fish, two fish, I blew a kid named Fisher.
Oh, Mikey, man. Fisher. Oh, man.
When he says kid, he means over 21.
Yes. Yes.
Not even a baby goat.
Of course. These are all like, obviously jokes.
Yeah.
But no, I called Riska. I got a new therapist that night and I felt really good. And I had to destroy it. So I called my ex-girlfriend and started a chain of events. It was massively terrible.
I remember that.
Yep. Yeah. The old butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Oh, was this the ex-girlfriend, the teacher?
No.
Well, she did teach him a lot.
Yes. Shout out to you for letting me sleep at your place for a little while.
We had Chinese food. We watched
Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
And we watched...
This is recent.
This was like last summer.
2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. No, it was September 2020.
Oh, yeah. We watched Zohan.
Oh.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great movie.
And then we went to the park the next day and saw a woman walking a cat.
Yeah. What a good, you know.
I know, that's normal.
Little trip down memory lane we're taking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love cats.
And if I remember correctly, this is the second time you've said that.
Third.
Oh, really?
Third time.
I love it.
You're taking a trip down memory lane, remembering times you've taken trips down memory lane.
Like the time we took a trip down memory lane.
You know what time it is. Hey there, auto mechanic and super cool do-it-yourself guys who work on their own cars. I want to tell you about rockauto.com, the online store with every auto part at the best prices. It's your one-stop shop for everything auto parts. They've been in business for 20 years, and they make it easy to find the parts you need at the best possible prices. So that means no more talking to counter guys who need to order your parts, aren't really sure what you're looking for, never have quite what you need, and after all that, are still going to upcharge you. At rockauto.com, you can easily find everything you need. So whether you're a mechanic, somebody working on their own car, or an idiot like me who doesn't understand how automobiles go, everybody has access to the same incredible pricing at rockauto.com. So head on over, check it out, and if you do buy anything, make sure to tell them you heard about them on the Buy Guys podcast. There's no promo code needed because their prices are already phenomenal. One more time, guys, you know the site, you know it, you love it, and I love telling you about it, rockauto.com. I'm so lonely. Let's get back into the show. I got booked on a Valentine's Day show like 3 years ago, and it was far. It was like 2.5 hours on the train.
Oh, my God.
And it was at an art space, and I show up, and
you
it was
known
everything
art space.
But comedy. There was like sections
could be good.
Of stuff that weren't. It was like a big thing, and nothing was comedy. And I'm like, is there a comedy show here? And they're like, yeah, way in the back. And it was in a storage area. Like, literally, there was like risers and chairs hung up on the walls.
Oh my God!
It's just sad.
Yeah. It was a stage with a microphone plugged directly into one like guitar amp, not a PA system, just a microphone in a guitar amp, and
the worst kind because it's always like blown out.
And the audience was like
a butthole at a book fair.
Five people that were there for the show, one of whom was Bobo from Opie and Anthony.
Oh no!
So already, he looked embarrassed for me.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah,
that's great.
A sleeping Indian woman whose family I think dumped her back there while they did other stuff.
Oh no!
And while I'm in, and I had to do a half an hour.
Oh,
how'd it go?
I'm bombing, and I go into my closer, which Ian knows.
Yes.
Which is long.
Yes.
My closer's 10 minutes and really dirty. And an African couple in dashikis comes in during the last minute.
Oh, God.
And I go, you guys are going to love this. Let me start it again. And I restarted a 10-minute joke.
How many minutes were you in?
8, 9.
Oh, my God.
Amazing. Because in my head, it was funnier to bomb twice.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah,
that and is funnier. And then set them up, because then they had to sit through the rest of it.
And think it's going to be good.
And think they're going to enjoy it.
Oh, I fucking love it.
And
that.
Then I held up the host for drugs.
Nice.
Because he said he didn't have money to pay me and he was a drug dealer. So I made him pay me in $100 of edibles.
Wow.
I
sometimes you got to bully people.
Yeah. It's not bullying. You earned it.
I had a kid book me to do his podcast and a show like far, far, far into Staten Island. And I get there and it was a booked open mic. He just signed me up for a local open mic. And it was nobody there, and the comic before me did a Trump joke, and the bartender turned the microphone off and said, we don't talk about the president like that in my bar.
Whoa.
Wow.
And I went up, did my set, and I told the kid, he's like, all right, you want me to drop you off at the train? I went, no, I want you to drop me off at home.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, dude, I can't. That's like an hour and a half ride. I went, yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, and we're stopping at Wendy's. Yeah.
And he goes, nah, man. I was like, all right, well, drop me off in Queens, and I'll get a train from there.
Right.
And I'll buy you dinner. He goes, all right. So we get to Queens. I go, you know, Ubers are a lot. You should drive me home. And he's like, nah, man, I really can't drive it. I was like, nah, you're driving me. And I literally was like, I'm not getting out of your car. You're driving me home.
Oh, my God.
He stopped talking to me after that.
Yeah, yeah.
Good. What do you got to talk about?
Yeah, what's to talk about?
Well, I felt like that's how I became a comic. Like, bullying an MC into driving me 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a rite of
passage. In exchange for like a calzone.
Yeah.
All these stories are making me kind of sad.
I thought you were going to say hungry.
I am hungry.
Yeah, I'm hungry too.
But more sad a little bit.
No. What are you going to do? We're commiserating.
Yeah.
Every job sucks. We're just entertainingly describing the shitty parts of the thing we
Everybody gets hamburgers thrown at them at their job.
Yeah.
That's pretty rough.
11 years into comedy.
Yeah, I love you.
I know.
The hospitality world is worse than comedy. Like, comedy is sad sometimes when you look back and go, oh, God, I can't believe I did those shitty shows or those shitty mics. But look, listen, now we're happy. We're doing our thing. Yeah. You know?
That's true.
Having great crap last night.
Doing your thing when you work in hospitality.
No, you're doing your thing is Coke in the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah,
that's doing your thing is the hostess.
I work one day at a bar, and I mean, unless I get famous, I'll never give it up because it's Friday. It's really good money.
Power positive thinking.
Yes.
When I get famous.
Oh, when I get famous. You're so right. Oh, but four people did recognize me at the Katie Taylor match. One girl followed me into the toilet, and I had to
Did they think you were Katie Taylor, though?
And no, you know what?
Did someone call you Katie, and they went, well, that has to be Katie Taylor.
No, so the first girl...
Katie Taylor?
Oh, she's a famous Irish boxer. So it was easier for people to notice me because it was like all Irish people at it.
Katie Boyle?
Anyway, you're right. When I get famous.
So Katie's fighting this big Sambo.
No, that was a Puerto Rican girl.
let's do plugs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you. Katie, what do you want people to get eyes on? Dates, social media, projects, anything you want people to check out?
At Katie Boyle Comic, please. I post everything there, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. And, me and Brendan are going to be co-headlining in Toronto. In Australia.
Wait,
in August, I mean.
What's the date? You know the date of that?
The weekend of the 11th.
Yeah, the Royal...
Rob's Place.
Rob's Place. When are you doing that? I think we're doing it in July, do you know?
No, August, the weekend of 11th.
Oh, I'm doing it in June.
Oh, yeah, the weekend of the 11th.
We can talk about
Royal Comedy Theater, August 11th.
Talk about how much you're all getting paid off, Mike.
Oh,
yes. August 12th. Yeah.
Let's commiserate on that.
Listen to my podcast. It's called The Shift.
Yeah.
Okay. Brendan's been on it.
Is that the one I did?
Yeah, and I always quote you. Every time porn comes up, I always go, and Ian said, you know, it could be fantasy, like the way when we watch action movies, we don't go and drive off a bridge. I remember you saying that. It's like the best analogy for porn.
Thank you. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
Hell yeah. Listen to my podcast, Here's the Scenario, and support the Patreon. Scenario, patreon.com/scenariopod. And also... you know, I'm headlining the brokerage in the 13th and the 14th of this month. So if you're from Long Island or whatever, you want to come out, come see me. I would love some fans out there.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, brother. You can come check me out at the Come and Take It Comedy Festival at the Secret Group in Houston on the 19th through 22nd. Killer lineup. Myself, Joe DeRosa, Sean Patton, Harlan Williams. Really looking forward to it. Follow me on social media at ZachIsNotFunny on Instagram. Backup Twitter, ZA Spook Show. I'll see you guys out on the road.
Harlan Williams, that's great.
Yeah, I'm really
excited. I love him, man. Everybody, I wish I said this at the beginning of the podcast, but Sunday, May 15th, in Gowanus, Brooklyn, I need extras for a video shoot. Brendan, Zach, and
May
Katie
15th?
Are going to be there. Yeah.
I can do May 15th. This Sunday. I gotta put that.
Down. Wonderful.
What time?
It's gonna be great. It is 1 to 6 p.m. I'm gonna put up a link for a Google Doc to fill out and an email address. If you can do it, I would really appreciate it. I need people to be dancers and in a mosh pit, whatever. Anyway, fidancevideo@nyc.com. Email for info. And May 19th to the 21st, I'm gonna be with the great Dave Attell at Cap City in Austin the following weekend. I'll be back with Dave Attell again at Stand Up Live in Phoenix, Arizona. Now I'm on the road on my lonesome. Going to be at the Royal Comedy Theater in Toronto, June 16th. No, June 17th and 18th. And I'm coming to Zany's Nashville, Zany's Chicago, American Comedy Company San Diego, and some House of Comedies. And Syracuse Funny Bone up in July 16th and 17th. Come and check it out. EM5Dance.com for dates. IAnimal69, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram. And bye, guys. Every Thursday.
Hell yeah. And if you guys like the show, please feel free to subscribe, rate, and review. And if you want to get on Gas Digital, hey, get yourself a 7-day free trial by using the promo code GUYS, G-U-Y-S. You get $1.50 off a month from the subscription, and it's the best way to support the show directly. You can also go to podcastmerch.com, where we have Buy Guys t-shirts, long sleeves, and hoodies and hats all available for your purchase. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show.
Yes.
Bye.
Guys.
So I wanted to. Ooh. So I've been pulling the same joke on Father's Day for years.
Yeah.
Where I post pictures. Alex, can you bring up a wrestler named Michael P.S. Hayes? So every year I post pictures of this wrestler from the 70s and write a heartfelt Father's Day message in hope that people really think it's my dad. And by the way, pretty easy sell.
Yeah,
dude.
So Ian met my real dad.
Yes.
And go ahead.
Well, Stress Factory, great time, really fun. After the show, Zach's dad is there with Zach's mom.
Stepmom number three.
Stepmom number three. Yes. And I meet Zach's dad, and I go into a Mr. Krabs SpongeBob meme where everything is shaking around me and I don't know what's going on. Because this man looks nothing like the man I've grown to know as Zach's father. He does not look like an overweight Italian welder. He is
which
a very,
you would assume.
Yeah. Which is, he's a very swell, like, looks like a, like, business, like a CEO and, like, whatever. And I'm shaking his hand and I'm like,
what is he wearing?
Zach's, I guess, Zach, this is his biological father? Like, I'm having this whole crisis in my head.
Yeah.
Dude, he's wearing, what, like a button-up shirt, yeah, a polo shirt, khakis, nice. Real clean cut. And I'm like, this guy, who's the guy,
I've
grown to know?
Yeah, really skinny.
And that wrestler guy is the perfect depiction of what everyone think your father is
yeah.
like. You know, and I'm like, man, I'm just, you know, like, I love Zach. Everyone loves him. It's, you know, you did such a great job. But I'm like, I really want to meet the original guy.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Who's this imposter? Yeah. And I thought it was a bit. I thought I was getting pranked that was not really your dad.
It was
like a joke. I thought that Zach, that guy was his biological father, and this guy was an imposter.
You thought Zach set up this whole prank where he brings out a business-looking
man? No. I thought
to
the prank.
Factory.
The prank is that blonde guy is the fake.
Yeah.
I thought the prank was that's the real dad, and this guy is like a
that's what
stepdad.
I'm saying. You're like, oh, okay, a stepdad.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Shout out Stress Factory. Great shows, and got to watch a woman fall through, what, six tables?
What happened?
Wait, what?
The woman that fell through all the tables.
Was I there for that?
You were around. Jamie picked her up.
Really?
Yeah.
I was outside chain smoking.
Oh, yeah. A lady was a few sheets to the wind at the end of the late show and fell through multiple tables. They picked her up, sat her down, and she went to get up and fell through more tables.
Oh that's great. God. Fuck. I wish I saw that.
Man. There is
really,
no audience member like the audience member of a stand-up show. I mean, like, you know, you don't see that in any... No one's getting fucking hammered at Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah.
You're getting hammered at fucking rock concerts.
Yeah, but there's a different... there's a level of drunk...
Rock concerts are such an old man thing to do.
There's a level of drunk ladies get at comedy shows.
Yes, it's always women.
That is like... Because my mom will do it. My mom would be like, they make the drink strong here. And she's like, fucked up. And I'll be like, well, what did you get? And she'll be like, Long Island iced teas.
Long Island
I'm like,
special case.
You ordered... I'm like, yeah, Mom, you ordered one of all the alcohols.
Yeah.
Just know, Zachary, they make them strong here. I'm a bartender.
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, no, women, like, I don't know if it's that they get nervous and don't eat during the day, or that they're just, their inhibitions are gone. Or, but there's, especially post-pandemic, I feel like people just get nonverbal, like, can't walk drunk.
Oh, dude, my mom got wrecked when I played Delaware.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because she was, like, nervous, you know, about what I'm going to talk about. I'm like, look, Mom, like, I'm, you know, I talk, I cuss, I say vulgar things, it's all in good fun, you know. And like, I did mostly clean.
I don't
clean.
Care about the cussing, it's the talking about the sucking.
Book
the
fair.
Dick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why does she talk like this? It's like she's a loan shark. No, but God bless her. I go to the table and she's like, they all got me wine. And there's like four cups of fucking
That's hilarious.
White Zinfandel, the mom's wine.
Yeah. And then another mom thing. My mom would go, well, I had three drinks. I'm like, it was a two-drink minimum. Well, your aunt didn't want another drink, so we had to get
something.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. There's like, always an excuse.
You could have got a fucking water.
Yeah. I mean, my mom walks outside. You know, I got to kind of hold her up. And she just, the second she hits the outside, she just goes, I was like, hell yeah, Gail. That's great.
After it. That's hilarious.
That was when my dad came here, because the shots in Ireland are only like 25 milliliters. So here it's like technically nearly two and more shots, but then people free pour. So it's like three shots. So we're used to. And then when we went to an Irish bar, the bartender knows my cousin. So he was like, kept giving my dad free shots. And my dad never drinks.
Oh, God.
And I've never seen him like this. I got a taxi home. We were an hour from my house. And he gets in the car, falls asleep, wakes up as we arrive outside, and he goes, wow, that must have been a minute drive. And I was like, no, you were passed out for the last hour.
That was so me funny. In the back of the car at Distress Factory from Lewis's house.
What, just sleeping?
Yeah. I like pass out in the back. Just dead sober. A little tie-tie.
Hey, fans of the show over the age of 21, I just want to tell you about our friends at MePod, our favorite vape pen sponsor. Now, as a warning, these products do contain nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Listen, guys, I don't vape, but all my friends here at Gas Digital that do love the MePod, they can't stop talking about it. They say it's got a great amount of flavors and the quality of the devices is phenomenal. They have the new MePod 2.0, which is the best refillable vape on the market today. You can refill with any vape juice flavor that you like. It's got a long-lasting battery and a sleek design. They also have a wide variety of disposable vapes, including the new Draco disposable, which lasts for 6,500 puffs. They have a wide variety of vape juice options and a wide variety of vaping options for our 420 consumers. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, weed. So, finally, they actually have fast shipping with most orders going out the same day. So, if you vape or smoke, you're going to love MePod. Head on over to MIPOD.com. And if you use our promo code BI, B-I, you're going to get 20% off. One more time, guys. That's promo code BI at MIPOD.com for 20% off your order today. Let's get back into the program.
I wanted to talk about this because I am so fascinated with this guy. Henry Lee Lucas.
Okay,
I'm watching The Confession Killer on Netflix, but I thought of him this morning because one of his like traits is that they're like, he would drink gallons of coffee and chain smoke cigarettes. And I'm thinking of it while I've got cigarettes in my pocket carrying two fucking coffees.
Say.
And I'm like, oh no, am I Henry Lee?
Yeah, you could be reincarnated. Is he dead?
Oh God, I don't know. I haven't got that far in the documentary.
What did he do? Like,
dude,
how did he
Zach,
so
take it away.
Debatable on what he did. Because a lot of killers, when they get arrested, this is him. This is a handsome photo of him, by the way. Those teeth did not last.
Because
somebody was getting paid for his confessions in strawberry milkshakes.
Yes.
And he gets really, really fat and all his teeth fall out while he's in jail.
The fuck?
But so basically, he's a serial killer. He also operated with Otis Toole. They kind of work together.
A tag team serial killers?
Otis Toole or Henry Lee Lucas, I can't remember which one, is kind of who they think killed John Walsh's son. The America's Most Wanted. Yeah, the guy whose son was decapitated.
Oh my God!
They think it was one of them.
Really?
They're tied to the scene, and they also happen to be the kind of people that would do that.
What son? How old is the son?
Not old.
Old enough to decapitate.
He's like a child.
Why would they take his head off?
I don't know.
Probably to fuck it.
Yeah, I mean, oh, I want to be vulgar.
It's awful when stuff happens to kids. It's not fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're not. None of us are fans.
Yeah, we're not co-signing any of this.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit of a fan of this. I'm a little bit of a fan of decapitating kids.
I think he was 7.
Yeah, thank you. So, yeah, he had a full life. So basically, what happened was Henry Lee Lucas gets arrested. Yeah, well, he got his first Scholastic Book Fair.
Yeah, he definitely got head, if you know what I'm saying.
Can someone throw a burger at him?
I liked it.
Did you just whip the one from last night?
I loved it. Yeah, I'm like, actually, I still have it.
So he started confessing because he was getting attention and he was getting rewards, basically.
Well, his first confession was he's in jail. First of all, he killed his mother and then he killed his girlfriend and his roommate. He's in jail. In court, and the judge goes, "How do you plea?" And he goes, "Well, sir, what are we going to do about the 100 other women I killed?"
Wow.
Yeah.
So basically, they couldn't put him down because he just kept on confessing to shit.
And
he was like a jukebox.
You accused him of, he would be like, "Yep, I did that one."
Yeah.
Oh, he's like ISIS.
And the nun and like the head sheriff that worked with him. They had like a weird relationship where he was like a son to them.
Yeah, he would just be like almost free at the police station.
No handcuffs.
There was a hotline to call if you thought he did something.
Yeah.
And sometimes he would answer it.
Uh-huh.
What?
Like, hey, what did I do?
He would answer it.
And they go,
where did
they
this
go,
take place?
Hey, was he open June 4th? And they go, yeah. He's not clear June 2nd, June 6th. June 4th, he's open. They go, okay, well, I'll take him to Maricopa County.
Wow.
So what happened is all these lazy-ass detectives who had all these cold cases would go, shit, let's wrap this one up so we can stop working on it.
Yeah.
And they would go, did you do it? And this fucking moron would be like, yep. And they would be like, off the books.
Yeah, and they would show him pictures before they get to the crime scene, take him to the crime scene and go.
Yeah, they would feed him the info and then he would regurgitate.
Now what happened? He goes, well, I left her body next to the car because he saw her body next to the car. And they're like, he really had a photographic memory.
You evil piece of shit.
But also one of the twists is a DA tried to expose this and be like, look, like, this guy's lie. They found him out because they made up a fake murder case and they gave it to him. He's like, yep, I killed her. Yep, I did this.
Yeah, that's
yep.
Well, another government official basically used, I think, the guy's brother. Did you? I don't know.
No, I haven't gotten that far.
Somebody basically knew their brother had committed a murder and pawned it off on Henry Lee Lucas and had him confess to it to get his brother out of trouble for it.
Whoa.
And a DA, like, straight up went after him and was like, we gotta prosecute this guy, like, find the real killers. And the cops that are in cahoots with Henry Lee Lucas, these like hero Texas Rangers, like, they're solving hundreds of murders. Oh my God, this is great. Closure to the families. They didn't like this guy exposing them, so they fucked this guy's life up.
What do you mean?
They like made up that he was taking bribes to get people out of jail. And they put news stories out about him. They wiretapped his house. They killed his dog.
They killed his dog?
Dude, the guy sued the news company and got like $58 million in a libel suit, but it ruined his life. It fucked his kids up. He got divorced. He lost all his work. He couldn't be a DA anymore. He was going to run for political office. He didn't do that. I mean, he's filthy, stinking rich now, but it's crazy.
But
I haven't gotten any
politics,
further.
What's it all for?
But this guy is here. Can you play the trailer? It's super interesting, but he chugs coffee and smokes cigarettes all the time. And I'm like, oh boy.
Sad that his wife left the guy, though, you know? He's just trying to do the right thing.
I know.
Oh my God. They found a child's head
but
in a trombone recently.
But it's so weird.
Recently.
They were just giving him attention and flying him around the world. He's just like a poor idiot. They were putting him on planes, taking him here, getting him fucking
He became
milkshakes.
A celebrity.
He was a celebrity. Yeah.
The serial killer?
Everyone loved him. They were like, he's doing such a good thing for society.
What?
It's weird.
But he did do one killing, right?
He killed some people. He definitely murdered people.
Yeah, here he is.
He's pleasant. He's non-threatening. And actually, a killing machine. A killing machine.
Not one of the known serial murderers approaches the record of Henry Lee Lucas.
Look at all these fucking weirdos.
Has killed 100 women, at least 360 people. Lucas was a drifter who
360 people.
An 8-year spree.
Either they found the world's worst serial killer, or it was the biggest hoax in American criminal justice history.
Wow.
I would give him a pencil. He would sit there and draw pictures and describe what they were wearing, how they were killed.
Shootings, strangulations, knifings.
Jesus Christ.
Every way there is.
Lucas was confessing to any unsolved murder put before him.
I started getting calls from law enforcement all over.
Say, why? Why are you doing it?
It was making him feel as though he was contributing.
It's the coffee and cigarettes, I tells him.
Killer, but as a friend.
Uh-oh, you got the handcuff?
Henry never lived.
Aww.
Every day he brought him a strawberry milkshake. It was like he was a movie star.
Dude, strawberry milkshakes are awesome,
that
too.
Point, it went to hell in the handbasket quick.
What I'd been believing for all these years was Henry did it.
There is not one shred of evidence to show that Lucas killed my mother.
Oh, jeez.
The police work was less than competent.
There's a lot of emotions with that.
197 cases were closed that should still be open.
We were up against very powerful people.
I don't know if someone has something to hide.
There's nobody else gonna solve them except me.
He was playing them like a violin.
Violin.
Clemmy.
Lied. Lied.
If Lucas didn't kill all those people, who did?
I don't know. I kind of like him.
You like him?
He's a charmer.
I don't know anything about this.
My favorite part of it is like he's a murderer, a rapist, and worst. A liar.
That's what I said. I was like, what's worse? Being called a fucking killer or a liar?
Yeah, but it's like, he raped women, he murdered women, but
well,
lies.
Dude, it's insane. Yeah, his girlfriend,
typical for our world.
His girlfriend that he killed, he's like, she's the only girl I ever loved. She's the only person that ever loved me. And I'm so sad. I regret killing her. And then we find out that she was 15. He was in his mid-40s, and they don't even make mention of it. They're like, killed blah, blah, 15. They're not like, this guy was a fucking pervert pedophile.
Pedophile. Murderer, rapist.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also a liar.
But it turns out he was really none of those things. He was just like an old Southern
crazy guy
that like had this weird charm to him that people liked.
So I just had this conversation recently, and I'm sorry to be such a nerd for murder stuff.
No, I love it. I'm turning into one. I can't stop watching
these.
You're
a real nerderer.
Thank you. We're basically living in what's going to be the renaissance of cold cases being opened back up. Because a lot of killers are now getting caught because their family members are submitting for 23andMe.
Yes, I heard about that.
And they're providing the DNA that's been missing for all these cold cases.
No.
So, for instance, the Golden State Killer, the original Night Stalker, that's who Patton's wife had been writing about.
Right.
He got caught.
Prosecuted
as an old man. He got away with it since the 70s.
Right.
Because one of his like granddaughters did 23andMe. And they're like, well, this, and but when you do that, the government also gets a copy of your shit.
Fuck, I did it.
Well, don't kill
people. The 23andMe.
Yeah.
I haven't killed people.
Okay.
I have never.
Yeah, but if somebody you're related to did, that could fill it in.
Then I helped.
Yes.
Oh.
But it could fill in
you did it.
Blank spaces. And because now they have this lady's DNA and they go, well, this matches this case.
Mm-hmm.
Who in her family line would have been alive and in the area? And that's how they're solving all these crazy old cold cases.
So that there are multiple examples of this happening.
Yes, this is like a real thing that's happening. And then, but
it's
the Golden State Killers. This is how scary this guy was. When he was just the Night Stalker, his MO was, and this is so fucking scary, he would kidnap, he would break into people's homes, husband and wife. He would tie up the husband so that he could rape the wife.
No.
He would take all the dishes in the house and stack them on the husband's back.
What?
So he would be face down, and he would take all the plates
and
so put on his back and go, if I hear these dishes move, I'm going to kill you both.
Jeez. Wow.
They have a town meeting to discuss it, and a guy stands up at the meeting and goes, listen, I think there's more to this.
I think he's a pretty sweet guy.
No man would let his wife get hurt like this.
Oh,
if somebody broke into my house, I would die fighting this guy.
Mm-hmm. It was so emasculating.
A year to the day of the meeting, that guy and his wife are killed in their house.
Oh, my God.
Because the killer was at the fucking meeting!
Yeah.
No!
Of course, the killers are always there.
They're always there. They, whenever there's big meetings, they always have to go through the footage now.
That fucking idiot got his wife killed.
They're like a comic
bravado.
Waiting after a show to hear how good they did.
Yeah.
They're always at the crime
outside.
Scene.
Yeah.
So my dad is in a book for murders. His
what?
Picture's in it. Yeah, because he's a guard, a policeman in Ireland.
Oh, cool.
And so there's like this big book about like murders in Ireland, like serial killers. And he's there like digging up a dead body in the...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because he worked on this case about this guy who like would kill like prostitutes and...
Oh, so no real people.
They're more than real people. Okay, they're earning a better wage than I am. Fucking
yeah.
But
I
anyway,
agree.
There was a bunch of women in the 90s in Ireland like that. Their bodies just turned up in the Dublin Mountains, and some guy, they couldn't link it to him, but they kind of know it's him, and it's like he still lives, like he was living in the area for a long time.
Whoa.
Or that guy, I met a serial killer. Not a serial killer.
I met a
murderer, sorry.
Oh, really?
What? Ian Bailey, yeah, because he's that guy who killed a French woman, but he's an English guy in Ireland, and they could never really link it because at the time they didn't have they didn't know about forensic evidence as much. Huh. So he's still living in the area.
How did you meet him?
Because I just was down in Cork with my dad, and he
was
like
just following me.
He stays in the in the market area. If you go, you'll always see him. He's like very friendly, and he's in the market area.
A murderer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
for knives.
He was also a journalist. He definitely, there's a whole documentary on it called Sophie on Netflix, but he definitely like wanted kind of like this, this sort of, because when the case was like closed, then he sued the government, but then it brought up like a load of shit like 20 years later.
Why
where they had evidence. Well, France has convicted him, but Ireland, because he's in Ireland, he can't be kicked out because of our laws, and Ireland can convict him because he'd already been tried like 20 years previous
with double jeopardy
so the evidence hadn't been, so now there's more clear evidence that he did it, but in France they tried him, they convicted him. But
was this like a serial murderer guy?
No, just one woman he murdered. Yeah, he also bet the shit out of his wife, and at the time a woman came forward who saw him with the woman in the area, and then he like whatever happened to her, she had to pull it back because she was getting like, you know, threats.
Yeah.
So the series is really good. It's called Sophie.
And you know this guy?
I just met because my dad and I called him, being like, oh my God, I watched this documentary. He was like, yeah, you met him when you were a kid. And I was like, what? And then apparently he's just at this marketplace in Cork the whole time. And
whoa.
He was like, yeah, I pointed him out, being like, that's that murderer.
And there's no Batman-esque vigilante that wants to come and just beat the shit out of this guy?
No, I mean, maybe because he's British, but...
Oh, hey.
Dude, that...
Now, that is some clean humor.
It is.
That is some adorable white-on-white racism.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one could get mad at that.
Ha ha. Unless he's Protestant.
Now, that is humor that's good for TikTok, right?
Well,
there.
The French should send over some, like... ninja people to like grab him and bring him to France, because once he gets off our Irish land, he'll be put in prison. But it's just,
so why don't you be the one to get him off the Irish land?
I'm in America.
Yeah,
I'll get murdered. I'll go by and be like, I gotcha, and you'll be like, ooh, another woman to murder.
Yeah,
dude. So it is so incredibly hard to get away with murder now.
Yeah,
back in the day, it was
I don't know
just
about that.
What?
A bottle of poison.
I would think it's pretty easy.
Well,
kidnap someone you don't fucking know.
If you're living in, you know,
put them in your
South Bronx,
there's cameras everywhere, dude.
That's the thing. Yeah,
if you're in a city, maybe if you're in the middle of nowhere, if you're in a city, there's a camera every few feet.
I don't know. There are a ton of unsolved murders in.
So yeah,
that's because they kill people no one wants to find. Like,
yeah, you were.
That's why, like, people that kill gay guys very are rarely caught because their families aren't looking for them.
That's so sad.
Yeah, there's a lot of young women as well. That
yeah, really? Prostitutes and gay guys. Yeah. If you kill them, nobody's looking for them, or the cops assume they OD'd.
That's why I was so scared of always getting gay prostitutes. I was like, I might end up dead.
Oh, I thought you meant I'm just going to need to kill one of these.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. I may get the urge to murder.
I thought you were going to say you'd be accused of murdering them when they end up dead.
No, I thought they were setting me up to kill me.
No, the last thing but what if the next guy's the one that kills them and they're full of your DNA?
I wasn't coming in them.
Have you ever been with a prostitute and you asked them, like, hey, are you afraid that I'm going to murder you?
That's probably not a good opener.
Hey, yeah, that's not good pillow talk.
I'm not going to murder you. But
now, have you ever done that?
I've never been with a prostitute, fag.
No, I've never brought up murder when I've been with a prostitute.
No, it's all business.
But I have.
You guys get murdered all the time, yeah. Right?
But I have. But I have asked about origin stories.
Well, yeah. You know, like,
how'd you get here?
How did you get into my room?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. But isn't it the same as asking people how they got into comedy?
Totally.
Yeah. It sucks.
What, annoying.
Like, oh, you know how many how often I answer that question.
It must be so awful, you know, because I got into a taxi the other night and I was waiting for two friends to come down from D.C., but I think they went the wrong way, so they were taking a really long time. And then I said, oh, maybe if we drive around the other side, but then he locked the doors and I'd never checked to see if it was the lift or, and I automatically thought, and I go, unlock the doors. And he's like, oh, okay. And I was like, but in that second I thought, I'm done for, I'm dead.
Whoa. So, that is so but like, fucking scary.
Isn't it so scary? Imagine for the people who are, where you just go, because you must have that moment of realization, like, fuck, I got in the wrong, or like, fuck, I'm about to die, or fuck, I walked down the wrong street. And then you're.
Did you say, hi, are you here for Katie? And he went, now I am.
Yeah.
Well, sharpening his knife.
There's one, I heard one recently that it has to be the most terrifying one. And we got to wrap up soon. I apologize for ending on a scary thing. It was a guy who was offering submarine tours.
What?
And a lady signed up for it. And they get to, you know, he gets her in the submarine and they're on. He goes, I'm going to kill you now. Oh, and she's stuck in the submarine with him.
Oh, no.
Did he kill her?
Oh, yeah.
Who owns a submarine?
He was like a little one, and he was doing personal tours.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
And that was his thing. He would just have ladies sign up for it, and then they were stuck under there.
And then he could just fucking bury them in the water, right?
Yeah, and then just throw them in the water, yeah.
No. Oh, there was that woman as well here in New York. When I first moved over, she was pregnant, and on Craigslist it said that they were selling like a baby holder thingy, like a cot or whatever, and she went, and then he stabbed her in the baby stomach, killed the baby. God. She survived, but
well, thanks guys.
Sorry, Irish people always top the sad stories.
Episode of Bye Guys.
I gotta go.
We can't.
I'm on a podcast in 10 minutes.
All right, guys. What we learned today: do not go get a baby holder thing on Craigslist. Do not take free submarine tours.
Come to Gowanus May 15th.
Yeah, and come out to Lucky 13s for Ian's filming. 1 o'clock Sunday the 15th, Lucky 13s. Come hang out
go
with
me. Go to linktree.com/IanFinance to sign the Google Doc form to get all the info.
And we'll see you guys out there. Thank you guys for tuning in. Sorry we ended on a weird, sad note, but we got to start a new show soon. So thank you guys so much for checking it out. And on behalf of Inon Fidance, this is Zach Amico saying bye, guys.